Hello and welcome. This is Conscious Living of Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for whatever it is you are doing at this moment, giving us a moment of your interest and your attention. You may be here for a specific reason. You might have just decided, hey, let's check it out. One way or the other, the topic today, orbs. All right. So if you've ever had a picture that you've taken that you wondered what it was, if it was an orb, or if you, you know, think maybe orbs are all just somebody's imagination. I'll give you two resources for both of those opinions, because in doing this, I have discovered it really doesn't do anybody any favors when you say something is impossible. There's so much here that is possible that in my experience, saying it is impossible, it means I need to expand my horizons and upgrade my awareness and learn a little bit more, because anything is possible. We all work in different ways and we all connect with different methodologies. We, each and every one of us, are unique connections to a larger engagement with conscious awareness, consciousness. So if you want to find out more about orbs from one source that is very, very believe, hook, line, and sinker, yes, they are legit and very supportive of that, then check out, and the site is healyourlife.com. Healyourlife.com, you know, the Hay House site. And Klaus Heinemann. And basically, there's a little thing there that says, what do orbs in your pictures mean? But it's also got the book, The Mission, Orbs, Their Mission and Messages of Hope. All right, so you can check that out. Now, that's the pro. That's saying this is what they are, this is how they work, and this is the purpose. The other one you can check out, who's completely and totally, no way, no how, after 80 billion years of researching this, I can say it's not going to happen. Never will orbs be legit. And they're just, don't waste your time. Troy Taylor, okay? Ghost research. And you can get that information under prairieghost.com. So, depending on your own ability, your own belief, your own experience, you're going to come to a conclusion one way or the other. The best thing is that if you do that yourself and you don't rely on someone else's opinion, because the cool thing about this is, as we go in with little expectation, you know, just kind of a curiosity and an open mind, we discover things that others haven't paid any attention to, that they didn't notice. And some people want to say these orb things are just they are a product of digital cameras, of digital technology. And that's why we see orbs all the time. Well, there were other instances when things happened and they were catching things in images that didn't make sense. And that was before we switched to the world of digital. So, and I'm not going to go there. What I want to go into is recently I took another orb picture myself. Now, the cool thing is I've been doing this for a while. And some of the pictures I have taken, yeah, they could be the classic dust. And I have seen that. There was a house that we were wandering through. The whole thing hadn't been inhabited for a long time. So I took a picture in the closet, and the beautiful images of all these flying orbs. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. But I knew that most likely it was going to be dust. However, among some of those images in this house that had not been occupied were some unusual larger orbs that had a different energy about them, and the house had a different energy. Now, the thing is, with the intuitive element, that aspect, I sometimes have a whole different, often have a different approach. And the thing is, I ask, or I open my mind and allow impressions or information or contact. And well, what that does is it gives me another element of saying, is there a purpose? Is there a reason? Is there a message? So this latest time, we're redoing a house. And when I first lived in the space, I did some renovations on it. What I was told at the beginning, do not touch the kitchen. Everything else is fine. Anything else, fair game. no, don't do the kitchen, not yet. I listened. I've had enough experience to know, okay, there's a reason. Don't need to go there. Now, going back to it now, we're doing the kitchen. One of the pictures I had taken at that house, and I've taken several, but one of the very first ones, 2009 or so, trying to remember what it was, 2004 or 5. I called it the Christmas ghost. I posted on the blog, talkingtonightlights.com. That's where I blog. And I posted it, and it looks like a fog, like a cloud of fog right beside me and the Christmas trees in the background. So I called it the Christmas ghost. But when I was taking the picture, I wasn't aware of any mist. I wasn't aware of anything in the room that presented itself like that. And throughout my time in the house, and I also have my nightlight stuff going on 24/7. The nightlights are there. I channel, I connect, I do all that. But there was this other element and presence in the house, and I knew it was there. And I knew that the basic thing that I was expected to do was give it space, respect it, just, you know, kind of stay out of the way. The experiences I had in that house are really, for me, some of the most extraordinary that I have experienced in doing all of this work. Now, when I first started channeling and learning that I could connect with that nightlight energy, we were remodeling, refinishing a house. I wrote about it in the book, Talking to Nightlights. And this house was pretty much took it down to the studs. Three stories, about 3,500 square feet. Beautiful, beautiful old space. Had been lived in by a former, I think it was Presbyterian minister. Right up the street from a church that had beautiful, beautiful sound every Sunday, you know, the bells, these bells just echo. And it's just, it was a wonderful, wonderful place. Anyway, that I also knew that space. That's when I started seeing these images and other essences. One, I was sitting on the couch and watching TV in one of these rooms. This is way more house than I ever want to be in. I was like, okay, getting lost going in the front door. Anyway, but the cool thing is I don't have any expectations in any of these rooms. I don't expect to see something or not see something. I wasn't even contemplating that the house could be haunted. I wasn't going there. But all my abilities began to unfold and blossom while I was in that space. And the cool thing, I'm sitting watching a TV show, and out of the periphery here, looking straight ahead, I see this thing that's a candle-like object. And this is how I'm describing it, a candle-like, where it's opaque and it's like a feather dancing on a string right beside me. Now, if I look straight at it, I can't see it, but it seems to be beside me, watching TV, apparently. I don't know what it was. It just appeared. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm seeing something. I don't know how to describe it or what to say, but it's dancing like a feather being pulled on a string beside me, trying to get my attention. Now, before I saw it, I felt something. It was just very subtle, but enough to know, okay, I'm not alone. And this isn't frightening. It's just a sense, you know, like when somebody walks in the room and you don't hear anything, you just have a sense, okay, somebody else is here. Well, that was this sense of, and then I catch this thing and I'm thinking at first, you know, you think, oh, is it a bug? Am I not seeing something? There was no windows were open. No, there wasn't a heat vent nearby. There were no shadows. It was the TV, the light was on for the most part. So it wasn't like a darkened room and I'm seeing shadows and that kind of stuff. It was something I could physically see, as long as I didn't look straight at it. And usually I think in my experience, what I've been told is there's a reason that we catch things out of the side view, the periphery, because we don't expect them to mold to our form. When we're looking directly at something, I think, especially when I try to focus too hard, I can't see it. Now, if I do that 5D vision, you know, the third eye, the little books that you see where you kind of defocus your eyes. And that's how I've been, intuitively, I have been guided to do that, to not try and do anything that refines it or confines the view. It's to open your eyes and see with that other sense, that insight that we have. And so when I do that, then I see more and I allow myself to see more. And there are so many other things that are present when we are not fixated on trying to get everything into perfect 2020, 2015, 2010. Oh my, this is really, really super sharp. Oh, it's sharp and it's confined. All right. So the more you do that, the less you see. That also is why I was watching the cat in this house chase little things that look like dark. It'd be like not a spider, but a bug that moved super fast. And it was like it was flying, but it wasn't, about the size of a dime or a nickel. So these are objects, little dark objects you can see. And my husband said, those are fairies. Those are fairies. You're seeing fairies. And I could, that's the cool thing. I could see them. The cat was chasing them. So it wasn't just me and there were no bugs. It was, these were little things that were anomalous and I hadn't had that encounter before. So there have been periods where I've experienced a lot of unique and unusual things that are not something that I have any kind of background in or any expectation. Well, the thing with this candle-like object, this little feather thing dancing beside me, I went to a bookstore and we looked at some metaphysical stuff and I was picked up a book by Carlos Castaneda because that was one that my husband at the time that he liked. And so I showed it to him, hey, here, check this book out. And as I'm telling him to check it out, because I'm not really interested in it, I open up to the page that says candle-like object. And that describes what I was seeing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this isn't just me. This is something that is legit and has some kind of a context for somebody. And it was so wonderful because that gave me an impression that helped. It helped give me an idea of what was going on. Now, just wanting to let you know that this stuff is unique to each person. And even though my experiences give me a way of framing it for me, your experiences are going to be in some way, shape, or form unique to you. So don't discount your knowing or your impressions. It helps me to know that when I have a question, I can go somewhere, open a book, and all of a sudden the information will be right there. With this orb thing and the house that I'm going back into, being told not to mess with the kitchen, there was a reason. When we went in to redo the kitchen this time, everything was being taken out again down to the studs to go ahead and get a fresh start. And I remembered, you know, at the back of my mind that this was going to be here. I took pictures, went through the house and took pictures like before and after to kind of get a state of what the house looked like before we did this next phase of upgrade. And as I'm going through the house, thinking, if there's something here, I would like to be able to get an image of it. If there is something I can capture, I hope it will give me a picture of something. And I've taken pictures before and done that same thing, just that if it's here, I hope I'll see it. And so there's this fantastic, fantastic image that's round and full-bodied and looks three-dimensional. And it's very similar to what I described being able to see visually when I asked my guides in 2000, it was 1998, 1997, what do you look like? I know you're helping me and I understand your presence. What do you look like? Can you show me? And they said, yes. So I shut everything out, meditated, opened my eyes, and I saw two with my eyes, two round, about 15, 12 to 15, 8 to 15, somewhere in there, because they kind of fluctuate, round orbs. I didn't, and I don't remember them being as 3D as this image suggests. And I don't remember seeing a bright white light at the center. My suspicion is that because we are limited in our physical sense to be able to pick up a broader spectrum, that if it were there, I wouldn't be able to see it anyway. That's my own sense of this, is that I can't see the full spectrum. So the digital image gives me a broader perspective and a view of something that my eyes won't pick up. But there's also another factor that when we're working with this kind of stuff and we ask permission and it's a co-creation kind of experience, then we get access and we are given assistance that allows us to see things that may not be present otherwise, because we're receptive and we're engaging a different element that says, all right, here, help me expand my awareness. And so it's kind of meeting in the middle and making this happen. And that's what other people don't always acknowledge, that there's this co-creative, that somebody will say, I can never get orb pictures, and everybody I know takes these orb photos, and why can't I get them? Well, it may be that that's not their forte, that isn't what they're good at, but they're going to hear things and see things without the assistance of a camera that other people who need the camera don't connect to. So it isn't a, what can't I do? It's okay, well then what can you do? Where are you connecting? Because this may, not everyone is going to be on the same page or wavelength in getting this information. And it's, to me, crucial that we do our own homework, and each and every one looks to see what he does pick up on and take notes, be aware. How is it different? So instead of jumping on the ship that says nothing is possible, saying what is possible and why are some people more receptive, not susceptible? It's a different word. More receptive. And it has a lot to do with that, keeping an open mind. And again, stepping back from being skeptical, because there's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And if you do that, always on guard of, no, it can't, it won't, it doesn't exist, then for the most part, that's what you're attracting, because you're setting the template of, this doesn't exist. And when we're frightened, when we're afraid, when we're skeptical, when we're just in that state, then it shuts down a lot of things. And so your own ability to be perceptive and to be psychic, to be intuitive, to be aware, diminishes. So if you take that back and start from the anything is possible, I will withhold judgment until I've had an experience. And that way you can wait, you can suspend your disbelief and have an experience, and then figure out what you might want to believe or not. So going back into this and knowing that the places that I have experienced these things haven't necessarily been titled or called or known as haunted, because haunted is, it's kind of a preconditioned thing of only certain places are haunted. Now, I have experienced towns. I love one of the places that I go to every year, Weston, Missouri, because there's extraordinary activity there. A whole lot of hauntings. I've connected with a lot of that energy. And to me, yeah, there, that's a different element. Yes, there are lots of hauntings and very intense and very obvious momentum and movements and things that go bump in the night and the day. It doesn't have to be nighttime. All of that's there. These other experiences I've had have happened in places that weren't necessarily considered haunted. But the energy of those who are non-corporeal isn't limited to being someplace that we want to say, here, this is where you live. It goes. And it's not only that, it's what the guides keep saying, transdimensional, interdimensional. It's beyond our plane. Okay. We are very connected to this physical plane, everything in front of us that we can touch and that we can feel with somehow, you know, a tangible connection. That's what we consider, that's real. Well, there's a lot more here that we can't touch that's also just as real. And that's where we're elevating our own consciousness to be able to become more in tune and in sync with that energy, because it makes a huge difference. Well, the huge difference it makes is when we destroyed, did the demo on the kitchen. My husband goes back in to do the hammering out the last little bits of the wall and tack up the boards. He was going to leave. There was a sub behind the wall, a sub wall, not much of it. This is an old house. But the minute he hit it with the hammer to put the other board up, the whole thing disintegrated in a big puffy cloud of dust and all that. Well, what happened is he and the dog both got sick when they went outside to take some of this stuff to the dumpster. is it released a whole lot of energy that had been contained in the wall. Now, this energy has a lot of emotion. It has a lot of presence. It has its own little sense of being, and it's been trapped, which is why I got the message in the first place, don't do the kitchen, because I was not ready going through that overwhelming reconfiguration of myself at that time in my life and this building that I was adopting and renovating and calling home. I wasn't ready to deal with that kind of stuff. It was like, okay. So I'm so thankful. This is a good thing. Okay. So thankful that it happened with us, because we're so much more. We're good partners. We support each other. It's a wonderful connection. Basically, what happens is when that energy releases, it goes somewhere, and sometimes it just dissipates. But if you're sensitive and you have this awareness, you know when you're ill, that that's where the energy went, that you had a response. And so he immediately got sick. The dog got sick. And for the two of them, they were nauseous and uncomfortable for a short period of time. When the energy hit me, and I didn't really even think about it or make the connection until later, I was out for a solid day, 24 hours of feeling just completely wiped out and overwhelmed, exhausted for no reason. Well, that's the energy. And so doing what I do and knowing about my own way of working the energy, this is, again, unique to each and every individual. What I do to recover is for one thing, take a walk, get out of the house, revive my own energy up the chi, start doing basically recovery. And everybody does this different, so I'm not going to go into the details. But that element was present for all of that time, trapped in the wall, in that essence form. So it makes a difference when we do these things, when we go into spaces and change and disrupt what has been confined to a space for long, in our terms, time, where it was safe and hidden and not going to do any harm. This was an energy that needed to be released before we put all the stuff over the wall to cover it up once again. Going to take a break here, a quick break, and then come back for more of orbs and all that stuff. Conscious Living and Power Radio. Okay, I don't usually talk about all the stuff that I've got going on or how you can connect with me here at Empower Radio, because I get distracted and go off on a different direction. So this is my time to sit here and say, hey, thank you. I appreciate you for listening. I appreciate your input. I appreciate the suggestions and the connections. It's really amazing, all the stuff that we have at our disposal right now. For me, it's experiences overwhelming awakening, awareness, expansion of conscious knowing. And everybody experiences it differently. But what I did with mine was I started writing about it, and I had that experience in 1997 that changed everything. And I wanted to go out and discover what else was changing for everybody else and give them opportunities to share their stories. So that continues now. And that's what I've been doing with the show Conscious Living on Empower Radio. You want to find out more about my stuff, you can check out the book, Talking to Nightlights. I really need to update it, but I tell you what, life happens so fast, and I've got so many other things going on that I just haven't had the motivation. I do. I've got book two already in the can. I just haven't had the, let's get on to something else. Because there's so many stories and so many things happening right now that I'm so enthusiastic about, I'd rather talk about it. So when I do this interviews with Nancy Duterte, like How to Talk to an Alien, or I've got the upcoming, which depends on when you listen to this, whether it's upcoming or the past show, the Aztec UFO incident, or talking with other mediums and other intuitives and other people who are experiencing this to kind of give you permission to unleash your own inner creator, inner illumination, and explore your potential. spiritual. That's why it's called conscious living. Hope you'll be able to find something of use and you'll come back and you'll tell friends and you'll simply enjoy being who you are in this wonderful, extraordinary moment we have in living this fabulous, fabulous, unlimited time in our earth history. Thanks for listening. I'm Wendy Garrett, Conscious Living.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, it's that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Okay, the cool thing about all this stuff, hi there, I'm Wendy, Conscious Living, continuing. The cool thing about all this stuff happening and dealing with orbs and that kind of energy is that you get a visual. You do get some kind of result. I remember talking with a psychic, she's a medium, her name is Irma Slage, and I talked with her years ago. She was, I think at that point, did a promo for a local TV station on her ability, and she knew where the orb was going to appear when she took a picture of it. And she told him, it's going to be here. And I think at that point, my memory serves me right. It was on a bed right by the pillow. And the orb was, they took the picture and there was, she knew where they were going to be. So whatever energy this is, our energy is also part of the equation. When I took this extraordinary picture in the front yard, it was this huge, like a blob type thing. And there were two or three pictures in a sequence. The cool thing, my husband took one of the pictures and I took the others and we both got the same image. And so this stayed in this basic location with the two of us shifting and taking pictures with the camera. So it wasn't standing in a certain position or catching this bright glimmer of light. this anomaly, and it wasn't in the camera because it wasn't ever in the camera before, and it didn't happen again. And it was such a unique picture when I did send it to somebody else who was, because he said, hey, let us take a look at your picture. All right, here, you take a look. And I have this archangle. That's a nice angle. And an arc. Ooh, kismet. Anyway, it's arc. Michael, the big one, okay? I'm not going to say the word. You know when you get tongue-tied and it just happens and it doesn't go away? This is one of those moments. So we've got just the big guy, Michael, with the sword. That one was supposed to be the angel this represented. And then a couple of others. All right. But to me, what it represented was totally different. It was the energy of the space. Because for me, the trees, the plants, the flowers, and the energy around them, which includes fairies, gnomes, brownies, those other elementals are also here. And so it didn't have anything to do for me with angels, because that isn't the realm that I am drawn to. Okay. I love them. That's not that the angelic presence is here. Believe me, the little Holy Spirit encounter I had when I was 11, I have no doubt. But I also have experienced these other elementals. And I was working in the garden and pulling weeds. I had this extraordinary connection when I hear these little voices, and then little twinkling voices, you know, the little voices you hear on cartoons. And they're singing, Mother, bring the rain that we might drink. Mother, bring the rain that we might drink. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just hear them. And there's clouds going overhead, and there's this cloud line. And what happened with that was I watched the clouds move where they came just over the house enough to have a few sprinkles. Now, this isn't a downpour. This isn't a deluge. This isn't like a big, huge drink. This is a tiny little sip. That's what they asked for, was a drink. And it responded by me watching the clouds move over to catch where I was with these tiny little sprinkles. And I thought, you know, if it were one of us humans, we would go, well, that wasn't enough. What happened? You missed us. But for that element, those little elementals, that was perfect because it responded to what they requested. And it was such an amazing moment for one thing that I even heard this. And I didn't see him. I wasn't, you know, given that permission to go quite that far, or I didn't have my abilities developed to know what I was even looking for if I saw something. And that's part of it, is that when we get these anomalous moments and these encounters, instead of saying, I was imagining, I was dreaming, I made it up, it didn't happen. So often, the first thing I have heard people do is, I don't know what I saw, and it couldn't have happened, and it's not real, and you know, it just, I think I imagined it. And they automatically discredit their own knowing, their own ability to tune in and be receptive to reality. This isn't any kind of fiction. This is reality. It just happens to be a really good fiction too, if you work it that way. So what happens, and even when I was writing my first story, the first go around with the Nightlights, I had a friend who said, no, don't be real with this. Just put it in a story and let people then decide whether it's real or not. Well, my problem is it's real for me. Okay, so it can be fiction for somebody else. But in order for me to go forward with it, it was like, just get this out, and then I can go beyond that. Get this out, I can go beyond that. And that's what I came to terms with, was it doesn't matter what form I present it in. For some people, it'll always be fiction, okay? That's when I got over it and just decided, well, I'll tell the story. Let the story speak for itself and let each person determine what their reality is. But I can't do that effectively if I hold stuff back, or if I try and give some of it a fictional presence and the other stuff a real, because then it gets convoluted and really complicated and I forget which way is up. So going back to the house and experiencing this negative energy that came pouring out of that wall when all of that stuff just disintegrated, I know in my own awareness that if we had not allowed that stuff to get out of there, it would still be wreaking some kind of havoc because of being trapped and encased in all of this new stuff, which then within my own experience would cause decay and exacerbate any kind of issues we might have, but cause more plumbing problems, that kind of stuff. So it was necessary. And the wall, that energy of the space was ready to be freed, to be released, to let go. And it disintegrated. The amazing thing that I want to emphasize is that it also impacted our pets. The reason I want to emphasize pets is because so often they're present when these things happen. And I've had people say, well, that explains why the dog was barking at something in the corner. And I had no idea what it was, but the dog kept barking and wouldn't stop barking. And it was nobody there, but the dog saw something. They do. And this goes back to that visual thing where they see things that we don't see. And I don't know if it's because it's a visual that their eyes are seeing it, or like me, when I was given the image of the two discs that were orange red, that were my spirit guides, when I said, can you show me what you look like? And they appeared as two orange red discs or orbs. To me, they were a little flatter. I didn't see them as that round, like a basketball type thing. But the reason I also have that comparison is in a past experience, being out of body and seeing myself from three different vantage points. I had been meditating and just quietly, not expecting anything, just doing a normal meditation, laying full, on the bed instead of in a seated pose. And I was out of body. And when I was out of body, I was in this wonderful glowing ball of yellowish gold light. I was illuminated and I felt myself just like I would feel in the body, fully present as this gold flashing light being. And I was also in the body. The other part, I could see the body under me on the bed. I could see me as the gold basketball size glowing orb or ball of light. And then I had the third position. The third position was the observer who could see all of those vantage points. And from that position, I couldn't see what I looked like. I had just awareness. So that's like mind, body, spirit. That's the Trinity. That's that instead of just being present in one element, one phase of being, we are multidimensional. Okay. So whether it's the oversoul, whatever words you want to attach to it, that's just fine. Each of us have to come to terms with how we are going to contextualize this, how we're going to make this real for ourselves, what kind of blueprint or framework or ideology applies to it. Each person has to go through and figure that out. For me, it's the Trinity. That's how I see it. Mind, body, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that element of these are all aspects of being and being fully conscious. So when I look at these orbs and I see this beautiful orb picture that you will see, I posted it on Facebook. I'm going to post it on my blog. I haven't done that yet because I wanted to get a little more background and kind of go into this that we're doing right now. But that little round picture is incredible because it gives itself a three-dimensional presence. It was a little cloudy the day that I took the picture. It wasn't a full sunny day. That might have added to the fact that it picked up a larger spectrum because, the sun washes things out. So that could be it as well. But with, I can't remember if I had one of the dogs escorting me around as I took the pictures either. When I experienced that, trying to see if anything would show itself, I didn't expect anything outside. If I had an expectation, it was that I was going to pick up something in one of the rooms, which usually is where I pick up the little orbs or something, they'll show up. The exception has been that incredible thing outside in the yard that my husband and I picked up. And another time when I went to an area that we were exploring for a group of ghost hunters, and I happened to be the intuitive on hand, and my guides told me to go up to the roof. and to go outside. So the guides and the other element who was giving us a tour, the non-corporeal element, the ghost, who lots of people had experience with, the ghost said, go up top. And outside, I got this wonderful, beautiful picture of a round and more three-dimensional blue orb. I did some playing with the photo stuff to kind of enhance it more. But when I did that, what it also brought into the picture in a better presence was this little floaty green mist that was off over hovering in the air off of the porch. So what I saw could have been is some kind of sphere created by the light. The sun was shining, you know, it could have been a camera, one of those little reflections. I don't think it is because of the way that it has a life of its own. And the other thing was I was told to go there. But what was also lurking along the side was that little green fog, that little green haze, misty element that was there for no reason. And I'm like, oh, wow. If I hadn't gone upstairs, if I hadn't listened to the little being that was saying, here, go upstairs, go up on the roof and take pictures. And saying that because I don't really want to go up on a roof anywhere. That's not I kind of shy away from that roof thing. And here the ghost is telling me, go up on the roof. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's smart. But that was when I saw the other thing that was with this beautiful blue orb that was also a presence that I wouldn't have been able to capture if I hadn't trusted and gone into that with an open mind. Okay, fine, I'll do that. The other places I've taken really cool orb pictures are in churches, one at a piano and another one in the hallway. And they're not just dust. They have these almost like an imprint of a mandala on them. And so you see these intricate little patterns and designs. So to me, it's almost like it's a thumbprint and it's something that's identity in some fashion. It looks very organized, very intentional, it's just, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're exquisite in their own way. And so I just wanted to share this with the orbs because I've had people ask me, is this a lens issue, lens flare? Because a lot of times they say that. I have had pictures where I have deliberately positioned myself to get what I could see was the reflection that it made it look like bubbles going up into the air. And so I could make it, and the different colors came in. And then there would be something else alongside of it that some people would call is a fairy because of the way it produced this little flash. And part of it is I'm not going to discount the presence of that because when we are asking and we are working in a co-creative manner or method to try and produce a visual result, our intentions are very important and they do play a role. I am manifesting. I am creating. And in this case, a lot of times I am co-creating because I'm asking the energy of the space or the presence, the non-corporeal element to show me and to participate and to allow for some kind of physical representation. So I can say, aha, yes, I see. With the nightlight energy, that little blinking flicker interactive engagement that I've had ongoing now for, you know, almost over a decade, almost 20 years. This is a way for me to manifest and create my own reality, my own presence, my own engagement, interaction with energy, non-corporeal elements. And so there are so many ways to go with this that it can be overwhelming when you're trying to say, well, what label does this fall under? Is it paranormal? Is it a ghost? A non-corporeal? Is it a spirit being? Is it an angel? Is it all these different words, the language that we have, I think in some ways does more discredit. And in a lot of ways hinders us because we want a specific category. And I don't believe we've really fully experienced all the different categories that are available. And I think this is our learning curve. This is how we are expanding and how we are evolving as human beings to more spiritually aware of this other presence in our space. And I do think that animals play a very strong role in that, because they beg us to up our game, to quit letting the fact that they don't speak the same language and they don't have the capacity for words. They do understand us, and they can create words if necessary. But what they need us to do is be more attuned to the nonverbal communication that they throw at us all the time. It was a great video, you know, all sorts of them on YouTube, but one on when dogs feel guilt. And you see what happens. What did you do this? And the little face goes down. The eyes go down. The paw goes back. Oh, there's one where there are three dogs present, and they said, who did this? And the little white poodle type on the top stairs disappears from the room and leaves the other two standing there. It's like, okay, maybe that meant the other two did it, or did the poodle do it? Why jump to conclusions? Okay, so this stuff, there were no words. No words. It was the language of the movement that expressed, uh-oh, busted. Oh, see ya. I'll just disappear. I think I posted it and said, when the invisibility cloak fails. Like, okay. All you're left is the expression. And, you know, these kinds of things happen for a reason. So that's why I wanted to point out at the very beginning, you have options. You can go with the Orbs 101. Here's the way to determine what they are and what they mean and the purpose. Or Orbs Debunked. They don't exist. They're not real. It's fiction. And you're a fool if you insist on pursuing that avenue. And those are opinions. So now it's up to you. Have you had an experience? Are you going to allow yourself to explore, to create, to believe, to suspend disbelief, and allow for something totally unexpected to capture your attention? And then hopefully engage your curiosity so that you can go to the next level and experience as an explorer a whole new world of being, a whole new realm of reality, because that's what's here. It's all here. It's all present. When I first started getting into this, asking what was the purpose? Why was I being given this information? How would it be beneficial? And the first way that it's beneficial is it helps you to get out from under all the monkey mind stuff that you put on yourself of, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. This isn't, I'm not good enough. All the tapes that you have from being, from starting out and learning about what things, what options, what roles, what jobs, all that are available to you from the time you're a child. And depending on how good your caregivers were and how they directed you, if they were completely and totally, yay, rah, rah, go, go, you can do anything, or you'll never amount to. Yeah, okay. So everybody gets all sorts of cues from their environment, and that's conditioning. So depending on what conditioning has given you, then you have perceptions that you can work with or work around. And that's what this is all about. Knowing where those sinkers are in your background so you can work around them and say, that's not mine. Nope, not mine. That wasn't in my box. Somebody else stuck it in there. Uh-uh, get it out of here. Like all that garbage that just fell out of the kitchen behind the wall. Good thing we didn't cover that back up, because that's exactly what it was. It was garbage. It was ready to go. It had done its purpose, been there long, long before, long beyond its time. And the only way that it was going to leave was if it did exactly what it did, disintegrate. The minute he hit the hammer on the post to put it in place, everything disintegrated. And then that energy was released. And it obviously needed to be released, because the result there was then ill. Whoa. Okay, so the ill then passed and passed on. Sometimes I get information with that about who was there and why. And that's another show. But that's the kind of stuff that happens when you do rehab work and you go into houses. I've been into homes where if I didn't ask permission, the one experience I had was a 3-hour massive headache, because the woman who had just passed was there with her relatives. They were going through all of her things and deciding who got what. And the person I was with didn't have the ability to go in and ask. So he sent me, he said, here, go do this. So I went in and not even thinking about it. I had forgotten one of the things, you know, do I have permission? Is this okay? I didn't do that. Well, boy, I tell you what, 3 hours and a massive headache later, I won't forget that lesson. So things like that, we don't always have full awareness of when we're getting into this. And it's real. This energy stuff is real. And they do have the ability to connect and to make an impact or a dent on us, even though we think we are impenetrable and impervious to all sorts of other elements, influence. It's here. It's here. And it does have an influence. And that's a bigger can of worms that I want to get into again at the moment. See, that's the thing. This opens up all sorts of other avenues of being and what influence is around you, both physical and non-physical, in your space, in your energy, in your daily goings on. So cleaning out the old and getting rid of it and cleansing it and working through and blessing the space and saying thank you and allowing that to go on to a different wavelength pattern, reforming. It wasn't ready until that moment. Until that moment, it was supposed to stay exactly where it had been, safe and contained until the moment of release would come. So everything for me happens for a reason. I just honestly try to do the best I can without influencing in a way of, you know, projecting an expectation that it's supposed to perform in a certain way, because that's where I get in trouble. And that's one of the things I learned when we did the interview with Stefan Schwartz. He was talking about remote viewing and stuff like that. And one of the worst things you can do as an intuitive is rely or fall back on that logical connect the dots. I am automatically want to assume, because I already know this piece of information, okay, that's how it's going to turn out. I jump the gun. Oh, that's what it's going to be. That's it. Ah, yeah, that makes sense. That's the problem. Because as soon as you have done that as an intuitive or a psychic or whatever word you use for it, sensitive, then you have given it your own answer. You have projected your information and taken the objectivity and the potential for a truly unknown to be revealed. So that's another part of this learning. And again, going back to orbs, what we know and what we don't know. We're learning. We're learning so much. And there are a lot of people out there saying this is the be-all, end-all. The credit to Troy Taylor, who has orbs debunked, it's not the be all end all. This is here. This is where he is right now. And he says they're not real. With the other guy says completely, totally, sincerely, with all of his heart, orbs, what do they mean? Where are we going? An intuitive understanding and presentation. And so that's where we are right now. This kind of a big divide between the science or scientific element that says nothing is possible to the intuitive element that says anything's possible. And to bridge that gap, there's a little word that does it: discernment. What do you have to gain by jumping to the conclusion, right or wrong? And when you go back and say anything is possible, all things are possible, you open the playing field to bring yourself closer to the unknown, to the new, to the unexplained, the unexplored, the waiting to be revealed, the future, the forecast. It changes as we change who we are. Our experiences change as we become more aware, more intentional in our beliefs and our creations. And as you practice that, you begin to see things where before nothing showed itself. And so when people say, is this an orb or is this lens flare? You know what? I am not qualified to determine that because I don't know your intention prior to that experience. Because even if it's just lens flare, some people don't even get that. And there may be a whole element coming into play that gives that lens flare a huge potential to create a language. If you go through, dot the I's and cross the T's and say, well, when did it appear? What quadrant of the picture is it developing in? What colors did it choose to acquire? How did it form and what were you thinking? These elements are all part of the equation. The observer is not separate from the observation, what's being observed. That's where we run into trouble. We forget we're also part of the equation. And whoever takes those pictures, some people are brilliant at taking orb pictures. And others are proficient. They can produce them, but they don't have the flair. They don't have that essence that says, wow, what is it? What is it really? So, going back to where are we now? We're learning and we're evolving. So when you go out the next time with a camera or with a friend who has a camera, or when you check all these photos and images, remember, you are part of the equation. Your disbelief and your belief is a factor. Where do you sit on the fence? Okay? Because that determines the results that you are drawn to when you do a Google search, when you talk to people, when you go into the library, when you dream. You are manifesting and magnetizing those things that you have an affinity for. Strong emotion, resistance, or receptivity creates results. All right. That's why you don't want to be afraid of anything, because you draw those fears to you just as easily as you draw those desires. That's the cool part about this. And that goes back to meditation and being in that state of neutrality. Anything is possible. All things are possible. You are magic because you can create anything. And you don't even have to know it because you're already doing it. Now figure out what you're doing and uncreate the stuff you don't want. Derail it, disempower it, and go back to both procreation of positive, of I am possible. I am present. I am open to receive for the highest good that which helps me to aspire to the next level of consciousness in a positive way. Okay, all that stuff opens us to worlds unseen, worlds untested, unpresented, unexplored, unexplained. And in some cases, unimaginable because of the magnitude. All right? Bring yourself to present and ask to receive a higher awareness. And wait and watch and open and awaken to the results. They are within you right now, and they've always been there. Till next time, Conscious Living, Empower Radio. See you there.